fasten your seatbelt, and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Welcome to Route 51, regional talk radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today, our program focuses on breast cancer, new advances in treatment, hope for the future, the importance of early detection, and a shocking disparity in America on who is at risk and who survives. A disparity based on where you live, what your ethnic background is, how much money you make, and whether medical insurance or preventive treatment is available to you. Our guests today include members of the breast cancer prevention group, Susan G. Komen for The Cure. We have Central Wisconsin affiliate president, Susan Ford Hoffert. Also, Dr. Pam Galloway. She's a surgeon at the Breast Center of Central Wisconsin. And rounding out our panel, cancer survivor, Wausau City Attorney Ann Jacobson. Now, we should mention that we're doing this program in part to raise awareness of a public forum on this subject at the Rose Garden in Wausau. It's all day on Tuesday, September 16th. You can register at KomenCentralWisconsin.org. That's K-O-M-E-N, CentralWisconsin.org. Now, especially today, we want to hear from you. Are you or do you know a breast cancer survivor? Do you have questions about preventive measures you can take? And what do you think about the need to get treatment, preventive care, and early detection services to everyone in this country? As always, we invite you to join the conversation. Our phone number is 261-6371. That's 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. If you're outside the Wausau area, you can use our toll-free number, 1-800-780-9742. Susan, Pam, and Ann, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Susan, thank you for all the information you sent me on this subject, because I have learned a lot over the past few days. Why don't we start out by talking about the Susan G. Komen for The Cure. First of all, who was this woman?
Well, that's the important thing to remember, is it was a woman. Susan G. Komen was a woman who was diagnosed with breast cancer a little too late. She had some changes in her diagnosis and trying to run around, trying to figure out what was going on with her. And by the time she was finally diagnosed, it was too late, and she died much too young. As she was dying, her sister, Nancy Brinker, made her a promise, and that's what this is all about. It's a promise between two sisters that she would do whatever she could to help other women avoid this happening to them. So that was 25 years ago. In Dallas, and Susan died, and then Nancy looked around and said, okay, how am I going to do this? So she had a shoebox full of names, and she decided to have a race. That was the first race for The Cure, was back in 1982. And since then, the organization has grown. It started out as Races for The Cure, and most people have heard of that. They'll see the pink and the runners. And over time, it's gotten bigger and bigger, so that we now have 122 affiliates.
So there's a fundraising aspect to this. What does the money go to?
The money goes, it's an interesting, each affiliate raises money. The National raises money. National raises money for their own headquarters and for research. Affiliates raise money. 75% of what we raise stays in our affiliate area. The other 25% goes to National, but it goes directly to research, not to administration, not to overhead. So the money is used to fund research. It's to fund community education and treatment programs. We are a funding source for nonprofit groups and for government agencies.
Let's talk about this forum that you've got coming up at the Rose Garden. And again, that forum is September 16th. That's a Tuesday. And you can register at KomenCentralWisconsin.org. This is a World Cafe style forum, according to your publicity. What does that mean? Who do you want to come, and what are you trying to accomplish?
Well, we've issued about 300 invitations to the seven county areas that we serve. And we want anyone who's impacted by breast cancer to come, whether they are a healthcare provider or whether they are a survivor or a family member, or they're working in the system, perhaps Wisconsin Well Woman Advocate, somebody like that. If you have an interest, come. It's free. It isn't all day. It is from...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We don't want to scare them off. It's from the morning. It starts about 8 o'clock. 8 to 8:30 is registration. There'll be coffee and, you know, donuts, probably something more healthy than donuts. And then we'll go through until about noon, and there's a lunch provided, and end up about 12:45 we'll be done.
Okay.
The World Cafe is different. This is not a seminar. This is not an educational. We know that there are gaps in service in our area. We had to do a community profile when we first tried to become an affiliate. And we talked to all the providers in the seven counties and found that there were gaps in education. There were gaps in getting people to treatment, and there were some cultural barriers. We want to make sure that we still have those gaps identified correctly. Mm-hmm. We want to bring people together to network, to meet each other, to work across groups and cross organizations, and then as we discuss these questions about our area, come up with ideas and plans to fill the gaps.
So it's important to understand that this is a brainstorming session. It's
right.
Not a social event. It's where people from different walks of life who have worked with breast cancer patients share ideas, and we'll be addressing four specific questions and initially sitting down at different tables, and then we'll all break up and reassemble at different tables and share ideas.
And so, when you share ideas, what are you going to do with the information once you get it?
Well, it's going to be harvested and gathered together by
our facilitator.
We have
the Wisconsin Institute for Public Service.
Okay.
WIPS is facilitating it. And at the end of the group dynamics, we bring everybody together. They'll pull all this stuff together. They'll have a kind of a high level. This is what we heard. This is what you said. And then down the road, they're going to issue a more formal report.
And then this report will be shared with different groups in the mm-hmm. community, like some of the tumor boards at some of the local hospitals. So it won't all just end
right.
that day. This information will be shared with the community.
Pam Galloway, tell us about this center that you're involved in, the breast cancer, or it's actually the Breast Center of Central Wisconsin.
Correct. This is a medical practice that I set up last October, and it's a type of practice run by myself, completely oriented to breast problems, patients with breast symptoms.
Where are you
cancer.
Located?
I'm located in the First Impressions Pediatric Dental Building on 17th Avenue.
That's in Wausau.
Correct. And it's a type of medical practice that has become more common in this country as the years have gone by, which is a surgeon-run breast center.
Why did you feel this was necessary?
Well, I felt the community would be best served by an independent doctor such as myself, so that I can best serve the needs of the individual patient and not be bound by any particular hospital or group or anything like that.
So you're not affiliated with, but you do work with both Aspirus and Ministry?
Correct. I'm not.
And that makes you kind of unusual
right.
in this
I'm
neck of the
I'm an independent
woods.
Practitioner, so I can go wherever the patient prefers.
And just an editorial comment, which is something I don't normally do on this program, but I wish there were more doctors who had that flexibility. And I think there are a lot of patients in the Wausau area who wish there were more doctors with that flexibility.
Yes, that's been my observation as well. I think that patients prefer the objectivity and know that I'm acting in their best interest.
Do you actually perform surgery at the center?
I don't perform operations like removing a breast or a lymph node, but I do perform biopsies, which is a sampling of tissue performed under ultrasound guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So the ultrasound is a diagnostic tool, sort of like an X-ray, that helps identify an abnormal area in the breast, and then you can direct a needle into that area and see the needle under ultrasound so you know that you're in the correct area.
In the short time you've been open, has word gotten out? Are you seeing a lot of people?
Yes, word's getting out. It does take a while in this type of community where you do have these more established hospitals for word to get around, but word is getting out.
Ann Jacobson is as a cancer survivor. Are you going to be involved in this forum at the Rose Garden?
I do plan to attend, yes, as well as they're in the Pink event, which I hope they'll
That's
also
our
mention.
Fundraiser.
That's also coming up at the end of the month.
Talk about that.
The In the Pink event?
Yeah.
Susan, why don't
you
tell us?
That's our fundraiser. It's the next week, September 25th, at the Rose Garden. No, I'm sorry, at the Plaza.
Hotel.
We have two events too close together. We have
6:30 p.m.,
Diana,
I think, isn't it?
6:30, right. Diana Jordan, a comedian, is coming in, and she is really a very funny woman. She's well-known, and we'll have dinner, and it'll be a more lighthearted event, allowing us to kind of take a break from all the seriousness.
Well, Anne, as a cancer survivor, why do you think events like this forum and programs like this are important?
Oh, absolutely, to get the word out to the public for simply public awareness and education, and to allow other people to find one another and network, find foundations such as the Susan G. Komen, find doctors such as Dr. Galloway. It's just good education. People should arm themselves with as much knowledge as they can, especially if they were in my shoes, because that's what gets you toward becoming a survivor.
I think the In the Pink event is especially important because we have a comedian who will be there, and laughter is really the best medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it will help take some of the fear out of breast cancer, learning about breast cancer. It's also important to emphasize that this is not just an event for women. It's for spouses as well. So it's not just for women.
Right. And I guess the whole idea is to get people more comfortable with the idea, with breast cancer, with their risk factors, and understand that early detection means becoming a survivor versus a victim.
We're talking to Susan Ford Hoffert, Pam Galloway, and Ann Jacobson. The subject today is breast cancer, the organization Susan G. Komen for the Cure, the event, a World Cafe-style forum, which takes place Tuesday, September 16th at the Rose Garden. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network. Hang on, we're going to be back with Ann Jacobson to hear her story right after this.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, formerly Fiserv Health, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. The subject today, breast cancer. Our guest, Susan Ford Hoffert of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure organization. We also have Dr. Pam Galloway of the Breast Center of Central Wisconsin, and Ann Jacobson, a cancer survivor. We want to hear from you. 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. Are you a cancer survivor? Do you know someone in your family? Do you have a friend who was? Do you have any information that you could pass along that might be helpful to other people who find themselves in that position? Do you have questions about early detection and some of the signs, some of the at-risk factors? We want to hear from you. 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Ann Jacobson, when were you diagnosed?
October 4th of 2004.
And how did it happen? Did you have any inkling beforehand that that you might be at risk?
I had no symptoms, Glenn. I woke up on a Sunday morning and discovered a rather enlarged, reddened breast. It was rather dimpled in appearance and very hot to the touch and painful, and no prior symptoms. And
you didn't feel ill before then?
Not whatsoever.
And had you had mammograms before?
Annual mammograms.
And nothing had been turned up?
Nothing detected.
Is that unusual to have a breast that, you were telling me before the show, it was about twice as large as the other one, swollen and red like that?
Well, it is unusual, and it's, as I came to discover, very typical of what they call inflammatory breast cancer.
What is that?
It's a rarer cancer. I was told represents about 1-2% of all those with breast cancer, and it sometimes mimics an infection. Dr. Galloway could tell you more about inflammatory breast cancer.
Well, inflammatory breast cancer, as Ann said, is a rare type of breast cancer, and what it represents is that the lymphatic system, which is a system of channels in the breast that drain fluid from the breast, has become overwhelmed by an underlying breast cancer. And so the lymphatic channels in the breast skin become filled with breast cancer cells, and this imparts a reddened appearance, a so-called inflammatory appearance to the breast, and it almost mimics an infection. And many times a woman who has inflammatory breast cancer is diagnosed initially with a breast infection.
So, Anne, when this happened to you, what was your first thought? I have an infection or I have breast cancer?
It was funny. I thought, gee, I think I may have cancer. I just thought that to myself.
What did you do?
I waited until the next day because that was a Monday, and I called my family doctor. Went in, was given antibiotics because it appeared to be an infection. They told me to call back in 2 days, and that's what I did. And then, in fact, they said, well, we think you may have a rare form of cancer. We've already set up a biopsy for you.
When they did the biopsy and it was diagnosed, what did they tell you about the treatment you would have to receive and what your chances were for survival?
Well, when I went back to the surgeon the following Monday morning, it was just a week later, we got the results, and he sat me down and he said, this is bad. It's very serious. It's a stage 3B. At that time, my tumor was about 6 centimeters in size, and he said, you need to do something right away. And I said, well, when can I start? And he literally took me by the hand, walked me down the hall, introduced me to my oncologist. I said, when can I start? And he laughed. He said, we've got to do about 2 days worth of tests because they can't all be done on the same day. Did that on Monday and Tuesday, and Wednesday I got my first chemo treatment.
How did your husband react and your family?
That's such a hard question. That was a whole topic of a Buddy Check 7 segment that I did with Susan Ramsett a while back. They wanted to know how my family reacted in different ways. And they were, I think, shocked. They were very good about it, very supportive. In the end, they rather stepped up to the plate. My only son was the one that really surprised me because he became very close to me, waited on me hand and foot. One daughter moved out of the house. Didn't really want to talk about it. My youngest daughter recently revealed to me that she journaled this entire time to get her feelings out and had just kind of put that away and never looked at it again.
So there was a lot of internal turmoil.
Absolutely.
Going on with your family.
Absolutely.
And they weren't revealing a lot of that to you, were
no.
they?
No. And my husband was fabulous because he's very even-keeled and very stoic, and he wasn't real dramatic or, you know, overly reactive to the whole situation, and was kind of my objective person. When we go to the doctor and get information, he was my filter. He also gave me 64 injections of Neupogen to boost my white blood cell count, so I could not have done that myself.
What was the treatment like? What was the chemo like? How did you react to that?
It was harsh, and it made me very ill. Obviously lost all of my body hair. I lost both breasts through 2 surgeries. I had very dehydrated, very hard to, I had to keep going in to get rehydrated. I have permanent neuropathy in my fingers and my hands.
What is that?
Loss of feelings, loss of nerve end feeling.
Was that a result of the chemo? Or?
Yes, Taxol. Lost fingernails and toenails to Taxol. Had reactions to Taxol that made my doctor think that I had bone metastases when in fact I hadn't, but it was a result of the drug.
What did all of that do to your self-image?
You know, it really didn't bother me, and I don't say that to be smug, but I've always said my body is just my shell, so that's not me. It may have changed my hair. I wore a hat. I didn't even bother to have reconstructive surgery because the cancer and what it did to my body doesn't define who I am or didn't change me in any way as a person.
Pam Galloway, is that an unusual reaction?
No, actually, it's not. And I just want to say I think it's great that people such as Anne are willing to tell their stories because it gives a human face and voice to a very scary disease. Many women, and everybody is an individual, when they are diagnosed with breast cancer, no longer think of the breast as a friendly organ and don't have any desire to have any breast preservation or breast reconstruction. But it is great that that's out there as an option. But everybody is an individual. The other thing that Anne's story underscores is that the treatment of breast cancer, excuse me, is multidisciplinary. The medical doctor that she referred to is the oncologist. And he's the one who decides whether or not somebody gets chemotherapy.
So there is no single magic bullet that can cure breast cancer. You're going to attack it from a variety of ways most times.
Well, there's no single type of breast cancer. There's more than one type of breast cancer. That's one of the problems we're finding, that there's inflammatory, there's hereditary. It's
right.
More than one disease.
There's no such single diagnosis as breast cancer. And we attack it from two ways. One is what we call local control, which is treating the chest and breast area, which is usually with an operation or radiation. And then there is systemic control, which is the chance that the breast cancer may have spread to other organs. And that's usually chemotherapy or endocrine therapy, or even what Anne had, which is called targeted therapy or Herceptin. So one thing, although Anne has mentioned many side effects of these medications, like the peripheral neuropathy, it is important to understand that these medications are very strong medications that unfortunately can't only affect the breast cancer. They also affect the body's cells themselves.
And you're now completely cured, correct?
Yes, I think there's no evidence of disease. It was explained to me that when it's in remission, that you will never be cured of the cancer, that the cells are still in your body but are not requiring current treatment, and they can't find anything with me. I still go in every 3 months for
How long did
blood
it take
work.
for that to happen?
Nobody ever really came out and said that to me other than to say, well, it's not that it's in remission, we just can't find anything. And I suppose that was probably at the 2 or 3 year mark.
And you were given, what, a 40% chance of survival?
Living 5 years.
If this had happened 25 years ago, what would her chance of survival have been?
Well, if you just look at, and I can't speak to inflammatory, but if you look at women...
Serious cancer.
Who were diagnosed with a breast cancer that hadn't yet... metastasized beyond the breast.
Very quickly.
Had a 74% chance of survival. Now it's 98%.
I think inflammatory, it would have been
zero. You've got to hold a thought. We've got a news break here. We're talking about breast cancer. We want to hear from you. 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. This is Route 51. I'm Glenn Moberg. We'll be back with more and our panel after this news.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
We are back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. I'm Glenn Moberg. The subject today, breast cancer, new advances in treatment, hope for the future, the importance of early detection, who gets it, who doesn't get it, who gets treated, who doesn't get treated. And we're also looking ahead to a public forum on the subject at the Rose Garden in Wausau, Tuesday, September 16th. More information and registration at ColemanCentralWisconsin.org. That's K-O-M-E-N, CentralWisconsin.org. And our guest today, we have members of the group, Susan G. Komen for the Cure, Central Wisconsin Affiliate President Susan Ford Hoffert, Dr. Pam Galloway, who's a surgeon at the Breast Center of Central Wisconsin in Wausau, and cancer survivor, Wausau City Attorney Ann Jacobson. We do want to hear from you. We haven't had many phone calls yet this hour, so call us if you're listening. Tell us your story, or if you've got a question, this is something that can strike anybody. 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. That's 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. In the U.S. each year, and these are the statistics you gave me, Susan, nearly 240,000 women are diagnosed with breast cancer. Nearly 180,000 will be diagnosed with the most deadly type of this disease, and more than 40,000 people will die from it. Why should so many people, equal to the population of Wausau, continue to die each year despite the advances that we've made and the fact that we're living in the wealthiest country on the planet Earth?
Well, we still don't have a cure or cures, and that's part of it. Part of it is the time of the diagnosis. We have a lot of people who get diagnosed very late in their cancer, and they might be in stage 3, stage 4. It's more difficult to survive that. We have cultural barriers with some minority groups, some religious groups. We have rural women who may not have access to, you know, a mammogram after age 40 once a year. So there's a lot of different factors. Everything were even, and then what didn't get said, that is like the big white elephant in the room, is the insured. If you don't have insurance, it's going to be a lot tougher to get that treatment.
If you don't have insurance, chances are you're not going to get the preventive treatment, because you get used, you get into this mindset where you just don't go to a doctor's office for anything unless it's an absolute emergency.
And there are some women who are a little bit afraid of it, too. They're afraid if they go in, they might find something. There is that sort of attitude. There is no prevention for breast cancer. I do need to say that. We don't know what causes it, so we can't say, you know, do this to prevent it. What we can do is detect it early. If you detect it early, you have a better chance of surviving.
And the statistics, again, 1 in 8 women in the U.S. will develop cancer. Breast cancer is the most common cancer among women and the second leading cause of cancer death. It's right behind lung cancer.
Right.
What are the most common risk factors and how can they be detected?
Well, the commonest risk factor is being female. Rarely, very rarely, men get breast cancer. The second commonest risk factor would be age. The older a woman, the higher her risk of getting breast cancer. Then there are other factors such as the age that you have your first menstrual cycle, the age that you go through menopause. The reason for that is that many breast cancers have receptors on their surface that are responsive to hormones. So if a woman, for example, has never had a pregnancy, she has had a lifetime of exposure of her body to circulating estrogen. Many women, actually most women who are diagnosed with breast cancer, don't have a family history. So it's important to understand that even if you don't have a family history, you're still susceptible.
That was true for me. I went through genetic counseling, actually. I didn't mention that earlier, but mine was found not to be genetic.
One way to help reduce your risk of getting breast cancer is to know what your risk is. And there is a type of risk assessment test that's available at my center called OncoView.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a type of test that analyzes a woman's DNA using cheek cells. The woman takes a quiz that takes information about her lifestyle and, using a type of mouthwash type of fluid, rinses this out, and then this material is submitted to the company. Then this test will stratify a woman's risk according to her age.
No kidding.
Right, and it'll stratify it premenopausal, perimenopausal, and postmenopausal, and her risk into 3 categories: standard, moderate, and high. So if you're high risk, and your risk can actually change, it can be high when you're premenopausal and low postmenopausal, or vice versa. So you can adapt certain cancer prevention strategies such as weight loss, avoiding alcohol, more intense type of imaging studies such as breast MRI,
mm-hmm.
in addition to mammography.
Now, we only had mammography starting in, 1966? What kind of a difference did that make?
Enormous. Advances in mammography, even having mammography, have enabled us to find cancers at earlier stages. It is important to understand, though, that mammography misses about 10 to 15% of breast cancers. It's not a perfect mm-hmm. study, and it needs to be supplemented with a physical exam.
But we have made so many advancements. In 1971, the Nixon administration declared a war on cancer and designated the first Centers for Cancer Research. 3 years later, First Lady Betty Ford spoke openly about her mastectomy, taking the subject effectively out of the closet. Susan, were the 70s a turning point in some respects?
Yeah, I think as we got more people involved in the grassroots network, and I'm going to speak to Coleman in particular, you know, we were out there talking about breast cancer, saying the words, sort of pulling the curtain away from it, saying, here are 3 things you can do. You can get monthly self-exam. Here's how to do it. If you are over 40, get a yearly mammogram and a regular physician exam in the office. Those three things can help us detect early breast cancer. In those days, people didn't say the word. They didn't talk about it. If you did have it, it was almost like it was shameful. You didn't really tell anyone.
Plus, now you've got digital mammography, right, which is better for dense breast imaging. And then the MRI, I can't push enough for my particular type of cancer, which was the only way it would have been detected. So I encourage women to be in tune with their bodies, and if they think something's wrong, get in and get it taken care of.
And Glenn, you had asked, why do so many women still die of breast cancer? The answer, one of the answers to that is that even with all these sophisticated tests, it still isn't possible to diagnose all breast cancers at an early stage. And Anna's a perfect case in point. She had gotten annual mammography, yet was diagnosed with an advanced type of breast cancer. So even women who are religious about getting exams and mammograms don't necessarily get diagnosed at an early stage.
There have been so many advances. In 1985, you had lumpectomies, which became an alternative to total breast removal. That must have made a world of difference with a lot of patients. And then in the 80s and 90s, there was a genetic trigger known as the HER2 gene that was discovered in 25% of breast cancer patients, and then a targeted therapy known as Herceptin.
Yes.
Is that something that you had to use?
Yes, I did. I was a 3+ 3+ 3+ so HER2 positive. I'm sorry, it was 3+ on the test, which I guess was the highest you can go.
Right. This HER2 testing is a tremendous advance in the treatment of breast cancer because the HER2 is a surface molecule that can be detected on tissue that has been removed either at a biopsy or when the breast is removed. And this allows us to do what's called targeted therapy, which is a therapy directed at that particular type of cancer cell. So Herceptin binds with that cancer cell membrane to help destroy the cancer cell. It used to be that our cancer treatments were only designed by a law of averages, meaning if you had a cancer 2 centimeters or greater, for example, and spread to the lymph nodes, your chances of getting a recurrence were X, so you would get chemotherapy. And you would get a certain type of chemotherapy depending upon the size of the tumor and other factors. But Herceptin is directed specifically towards these cancer cells that are HER2 positive.
And we've got other things now that are on the new frontier, things like, as you mentioned, digital mammography, resonance, magnetic resonance imaging. There's now something called tomosynthesis.
I'm not really familiar with tomosynthesis. I am familiar with the MRI, which is a tremendous advance. We're still struggling as to the exact role of breast MRI, but it is quite excellent at imaging small tumors.
And there are things that are being done right now.
Correct. This is here and now. MRI is here and now.
But there are things that you're working on that may provide new treatments in the future.
Yes.
That angiogenesis drugs.
Right. Those help destroy the blood vessels that supply a blood supply to the tumors.
And then gene therapy?
Well, gene therapy, we're doing genetic testing to help find if women have a mutation in a breast gene. Actually, it's a gene that we all have called BRCA1 or 2. The question is whether or not you have a mutation
but
in that gene.
We may even be able to insert specific genes into cancer cells sometime in the future. Nanotechnology, putting tiny particles in the body to target cancer cells. RNA interference, which is turning off cancer cells before they grow. Stem cell research, who knows what that's going to produce. So there are a lot of things on the frontier right now.
Yes.
We feel like we're really close to it. And in fact, Komen has made a promise that in our next 25 years of existence, actually we're going to take it down to the next decade, we're going to invest another $1 billion, $1 billion in research. Because we do feel we're really close to finding the cures. And, you know, it isn't just breast cancer that will benefit, or I shouldn't say the breast cancer benefits, but the survivors benefit, because what we learn in the research on breast cancer can be applied to other cancers as well.
Right, like the medications that target the blood vessels that supply the cancer is applicable to other cancers as well.
We're talking to Susan Ford Hoffer, Dr. Pam Galloway, and Ann Jacobson. The subject is breast cancer. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. We'll be back after a short break.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, the subject breast cancer, with Susan Ford Hoffert of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure Organization, Dr. Pam Galloway, a surgeon at the Breast Center of Central Wisconsin, and cancer survivor, Wausau City Attorney Ann Jacobson. Let's go to the phones right now. We have Judy in Wausau. Judy, you're on Route 51.
Hi, this has just been a great show to listen to today, and I just wanted to share a couple of things about breast cancer screening that I thought were relevant. Only about 66% of women over age 50 have had a mammogram in the past year, which I think is rather startling considering that we do have all of the treatments and technologies and ability to detect and treat cancer. And so I just wanted to point that out and encourage people to have the screenings and find out.
Judy, are you involved in the fight against breast cancer?
I am. As a matter of fact, I am part of the volunteers for the Susan G. Komen Foundation that are planning the forum. And I do work with chronic disease prevention, so this is something that I am concerned about and why I pay attention to these.
What's your occupation?
I work for the public health department. I'm the program director for chronic disease prevention.
In Marathon County? What's your last name?
Burroughs.
Judy Burroughs. What can you do as a public health official for people who don't get screening, and if they get diagnosed, maybe they don't get treatment because they don't have health insurance? There are a lot of people who fall through the cracks these days.
There certainly are, and there is a statewide program called the Wisconsin Well Woman Program, which is available to women, you know, Wisconsin residents. You need to be between the age of 45 and 64 and income eligible, which the income guidelines, quite frankly, are not that difficult to meet. And based on a screening that we do on those two simple things, income and age, we can enroll you in the Wisconsin Well Woman Program. And that program will pay for basic screening. In the event that breast cancer is found, we can also then help with the providing for payment for the care and treatment.
Is there a phone number that people who may be listening who may not have medical insurance but who want to avail themselves of this program, is there a phone number they can call?
Absolutely. They can call 261-1900. That's our health department number, and they can ask for the Wisconsin Well Woman Program, and they'll be connected to someone that can help them. If you're from another county, you can call your local public health department in your county, and they'll be able to direct you to somebody that can help you find out if you're eligible to enroll for the program.
Why do you think this this forum that's scheduled for Tuesday, September 16th at the Rose Garden, why is that important?
Well, I think it's hugely important to have everyone together that has a different perspective on this problem. When we face it, you know, from the healthcare provider perspective, we're only seeing one side of it, and there's so much more to it. You know, as Anne shared her story about what she went through, there's a lot of other women that have dealt with all of those family issues and social issues, and how do I deal with returning to work? When can I return to work? How is my family going to handle the loss of income? There's all kinds of issues that a family is faced with when a woman goes through breast cancer or breast cancer treatment. Usually, many times, and I hope this doesn't sound sexist, but many times the woman in the family is the nurturer, and if she's ill, it really changes the family dynamics. And so I think bringing people together to talk about all of this, screening, treatment, the social aspects of it, will really give us a good sense of what we can do to find the best way to have the best breast health services possible.
Judy, thanks so much for the phone call.
And, thank you.
And again, to register for this, it's Komen, K-O-M-E-N, centralwisconsin.org. That's Komen, centralwisconsin.org. I do want to talk about the demographics. Breast cancer death rates are higher among African-American women. They're the leading cause of death for Latina women. The worst places for breast cancer mortality are no surprise. In Chicago, the cancer death rate is only 24 per 100,000 for white people, but it's almost twice as large, 40 per 100,000 for black people. Other urban areas with slums, with ghettos, large numbers of poor people are also disproportionately affected. Harlem, New York, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., all have more people dying from this condition than other places. So we have poverty, we have racism, and then we have 44 million people in America who don't have basic medical insurance. So what is the long-term answer to this? Is there a long-term answer?
Well, that's a huge question, and I don't know that any one of us has one answer for it. I do know that groups like Komen, the American Cancer Society, some of the foundations here locally are here to help women get treatment if they need it financially. You have to break through some of the cultural barriers. You have to get people educated. A lot of those stats, breast cancer doesn't affect a black woman or a Latino differently than a white woman. It's that they're not getting detected early enough.
They're not getting detected, right. and if they do get detected, by the time it happens, it's too late.
It's a social economic level that really, if you're uninsured, you don't have any money, you are going to be hurting. But
a lot of people who are in that condition, who are poverty stricken and who don't have insurance, they go to the emergency room for treatment. If you show up at the emergency room with breast cancer, chances are it's too late.
Yeah, and they're probably not going to go to the emergency room because they found a lump. They're going to probably sit on it. You know, we have one of the nice things is we have both Ministry Marshfield and Aspirus both have mobile mammogram units. And it's great to get that treatment to those, the screening to those people. However, once they get diagnosed, then what happens? Well, both of those groups have foundations that can help them with financial, but you've got to go through a lot. It's, I don't have the answer. All I know is that we are one funding source for those groups that could help. There are foundations such as the Leroy Butler Foundation, Dina mm-hmm. Favre, that gives to individuals, who apply, who need help paying their bills. But you know, Judy's not here, but she could tell you some stories where women are saying, I can't buy groceries, or I can either buy groceries or I can get cancer treatment. So I'm going to buy the groceries.
And we are in a political year this year. We had a woman who ran for president on the Democratic ticket, Hillary Clinton, who made universal health care a major part of her campaign. She didn't get on the ticket, but now we have another woman, Sarah Palin, on the Republican presidential ticket. I didn't hear anything in her speech last night at the convention about the need for health care and ensuring the millions of people in this country who don't have it. But these are important issues for women. And I know that there is a bipartisan effort by AARP and other groups in order to put this on the agenda for both political parties. So
Komen has a program called I Vote for the Cure. And we're very much advocating getting out in front of our legislators and telling them that we all vote. And so this better be on your agenda.
Anything you want to add? We're down to our last couple of minutes here.
Well, I hope if you have an interest in this, you come to our forum. I hope you also come to our In the Pink benefit, which is September 25th at 6:30 at the Plaza. That is a comedian, a night out with Diana Jordan. It's a good cause. You know that the money that you give us will stay here. It will help women here. And this is a big issue. It's not just a personal matter. It's a political matter, as you pointed out.
And it isn't something that just affects the patient. It affects
right.
everybody around them, as you pointed out, your coworkers, your family, everyone. So we need to get the word out.
And you know, do the mammogram after age 40.
Get the yearly annual
physical. And check yourself every month.
Susan Ford Hoffert and Pam Galloway and Ann Jacobson. Ann, especially, thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you, Glenn.
We do want to thank all three of our guests today. Susan G. Komen for The Cure, Central Wisconsin Affiliate President, Susan Ford Hoffert, Dr. Pam Galloway. She is a surgeon at the Breast Center of Central Wisconsin. It's located on 17th Avenue in Wausau. Also, cancer survivor, Wausau attorney Ann Jacobson. We do want to remind you again of the World Cafe Style Forum on this subject. It's at the Rose Garden in Wausau, Tuesday, September 16th. You can register at KomenCentralWisconsin.org. That's K-O-M-E-N, CentralWisconsin.org. And I want to give you that phone number again. If you don't have insurance and you want to get breast cancer detection services, you may qualify for the Well Women program administered by the Marathon County Health Department. That phone number is 261-1900, 261-1900. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Kelson Quisler. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next Thursday on Route 51, the focus is back on election year politics as we look at the race for the White House between Barack Obama and John McCain and dissect the speeches and issues brought forth during the Democratic and Republican conventions. Our guests include The Odd Couple, two national pundits and activists who are married to each other, if not to each other's politics. James Carville and Mary Madeline will be appearing together at an upcoming Reuter Forum in Wausau. You'll hear their comments and analysis from local Democratic delegate Christine Bremer Moogley, local Republican Party leader Kevin Hermaning. That's next Thursday at 5 right here on Route 51. That's it for us. Thanks again for riding with us today. Until next week, we are heading out of town.